This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
All right, I'm ready. Mike Calta, welcome to HMB Radio, the homemade broadcast, all that good stuff.
Hello, Will.
Now, I talked to you on your show this morning, and you said that you were actually a little nervous about doing this, and I was sort of humbled by that and also wondered why the hell would you be nervous about doing this?
First of all, are you wearing a fucking headband? What are you, Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah, I'm an athlete. I don't know if you knew that.
Were you doing calisthenics before this interview?
Yeah, I'm heading to the gym right after. You go to the gym now too, right? You know about it.
Let's spread that around. Let's let everybody know that I'm going to the gym. I wasn't nervous, like nervous to do it. I was nervous, like, I don't know. What am I? Am I supposed to bring material? Am I going to be interviewed? I don't know what. The worst guests we've ever had on the show are guests that come in the studio and then sit there and wait for us to interview them instead of like comedians.
Right.
We have comedians come in. You want comedians to just come in and be funny. Mm-hmm. So if they come in there and just sit there and they wait to be interviewed, we're like, fuck you. You're a big guest laugh clown. That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
So I didn't know today whether I was supposed to bring my A game, because this is like my C plus game today, but I'm trying hard.
No, that's fine. I started this show as a interview show where I kind of interviewed people who were kind of off the beaten path a little bit, who weren't getting any sort of media attention at all in the area. So it was a lot of stand-up comedians. I used to run, you know, open mics down in St. Pete and artists, and then they would go, oh, you should talk to my friend. They're doing this. And chasing people down to do podcasts just got exhausting. And then when Anna got fired, I was like, awesome. Now we can just do, you know, the show we used to do, and I don't have to chase her down, and we can just do an extension of that radio show we used to do, and it's so much better. I hate asking people to do podcasts, number one. I actually asked Galvin to semi-recently, and I got no response from that, which I don't blame anybody for not wanting to do a podcast. You guys talk for 4 hours a day. I do this because I know I'm going to get fired one day, so I want to make sure that people still know where to find me if they want to, and it's just something I've done for so long that I wanted to make sure that I just kept up with it. You know, it's like the David Goggins type of attitude.
People think that I shit on podcasts all the time because I tell people that we don't need any more podcasts, but I don't mean podcasts like this, and I mean like every comedian does need a fucking podcast. There's like a group of 10 comedians, they all have their own podcasts. Some of them have like two or three podcasts, and then all they do is interview each other and tell the same stories. It's the dumbest shit ever. Mm-hmm. But people who do, especially ones that introduce you to new people, I like that. And I'm not lying. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts just because of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'll be in the car today for a half hour. I'll put something on. Then I get in there and some 70s disco songs on. I'm like, oh, this shit's good too. Mm-hmm. And I never listen to anything. So it's not that I don't like them or I don't respect them. I do. I especially like ones that come up. Like some guy asked me to do one the other day that I don't know, but it's about movies, and you take your favorite movie and then you like deconstruct the movie. And I'm like, all right, I'm down with that. I like that. That's a thing. This I was never opposed to doing either. It's a matter of nailing down a time. So this worked out perfect.
Yeah, can I tell you that I want to tell you two stories. One of them, I'm sure you don't remember either one, but they made a big impact on me. I'll tell you one that was the bad one that hurt my feelings.
Oh, no.
Two was a good one. Which one do you want to start with?
Ooh, I always like to hear the bad news first.
Bad news first, okay. So I had reached out to you. I mean, this is way before I worked at the station. And
I remember this.
You do? Okay, all right.
Yes.
So I reached out to Mike on Snapchat, I believe it was, and I just started doing this. And I started doing this podcast, too, as some sort of portfolio because I knew I wanted to do talk radio. So I said, now I just have the ability to do it with technology. So I just started doing it. And Mike surprisingly said, sure, I'll do it. Email me. And sent me your email. And I was like, oh, great. And then I was listening. I believe you were still on in afternoons, even at this point. And I was in the car. And I was all excited because I'm going to get Mike Calta to be on my pod. This is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I heard somebody say, you must have been talking about it. Some awesome kid asked me to do his podcast or whatever. And then I think it was Hoppy was involved in it. And you said something to the effect of, go talk to yourself like Will does. I'm assuming that meant me. And that I was listening to that live in the car. I was getting gasoline at the Shell station. And it just snapped my heart in two.
But you have to know that, and it's the same thing I tell my wife, is that some of the shit that I say on the air is more likely going to be blown out of proportion and over exaggerated.
Yeah.
Especially that. It sounds to me like I was trying to make fun of Hoppy and I just used you to make fun of Hoppy.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but I get it. If I'm listening and I just hear that randomly, I'd be like, wah, wah.
Yeah. And then I didn't ask after that again. And then you'd mentioned, I think it was at the last Christmas event where we were allowed to actually go outside and stuff. That, oh, I'll do it. I'll do it again. Okay, sure. But I just feel weird asking now. So I never really followed up on it. And actually a listener, McShay, said on Twitter, because I used a clip, somebody sent me a clip that you said something nice about me. So I use that the front end of the show usually. And you mentioned it, and then you said you would do it. So I said, all right, so I'll reach out, and it actually worked out. So that's good. All right, let me tell you the good thing now, even better. So there's no way you could possibly remember this, but probably this is 7-8 years ago. Pretty sure you're still on in afternoons at that point, too. I was at O'Keefe's, and this is, you know, talk radio has been always something that I wanted to do since I was a little kid. And I went up to you. You were at O'Keefe's at the Bone Tent, and you spent, I would say, close to an hour with just me. There wasn't really anybody at the tent. Everybody was just, you know, doing their St. Paddy's Day thing. You gave me Mike Olivero's contact info. You sat and talked to me about the business. And it wasn't one of those things where every radio person, when they're asked about radio, if they should do it, everyone, don't do it. That's my advice. You didn't do that with me. You sat down and spent time with me, and I really appreciated that. And I ended up not getting the job. I interviewed with John Brennan, and I think it was Phoebe at the time there too, that she was still there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
What was the job that was available?
I believe it was a board op job.
Okay.
And that's what you recommended that I go after. And I ended
that's
up good,
that's the way to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. I started in promo actually from your former producer. Well, let me finish this story first. Okay. I ended up being such a pain in the ass to John Brennan that he opted, I guess, not to hire me. And there's a fine line of being assertive and showing you want something, being a pain in the ass. And I think I crossed over into pain in the ass territory. So I ended up not getting that job. Years later, when I was running the open mics, I had one at Yard of Ale in St. Pete. You had Rob Gargiulo working for you. Uh-huh. Rob was trying to do comedy. I had interviewed with, what was it? It was a Beasley station where Jesse Cage was. That was another guy who was really nice to me. And
In
town, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And so I interviewed there, and I thought I was a shoe in there. Jesse was saying, well, if you're in the building, you know, I'll just call you in, you know, we can do radio and stuff. And I was so excited about that. I thought it was a formality that I was even interviewing. Ended up not getting that job. Crap. So Rob pops in one night into the open mic. I told him what happened. He, I guess, went into Mike Olivero's office, and then they hired me at the Bone. And then it's been downhill ever since, I guess.
Well, I will tell you that there is a fine line between being a pain in the ass and you know, I worked for 98 Rock for years, and I got fired. And when I got fired, the Bone had just launched, and the Bone had a Fisher on in the morning.
Yep.
And I went over there and I met with them, and they were talking about doing the Fisher and Cowhead show. And I was like, fucking great, I'm in, I'll take it, you know. And then it just stopped. Like they were all on it for like 3 days, and then nobody communicated anymore. And then they were doing like a liquid lunch kind of thing, and I wasn't working. So me and my brother-in-law and my buddy Pete, the liquid lunch thing where they were at was right, it was on the causeway somewhere. So the three of us went there for lunch, and I was like, oh, hey, yeah, we heard you guys are going to be here. We came by, and they were almost like, why is he here? You know, like I wasn't sitting at their table or anything. And then I kind of got the feeling they were blowing me off, and I couldn't figure out what just happened. I'm like, so did I cross over into pain in the ass, you know, with them? I wasn't sure, but there is a fine line there. But at the same time, the guys who keep going after it are the ones that are memorable. What it sounds to me like it was that John Brennan didn't have anything at the time, or I don't know why the fuck Phoebe would be involved in anything. So Olivero, he's a guy who would make shit happen. I need promo guys. I need board op guy, whatever. And he has the power to just do that without having to ask 10 people. So that's probably why that worked out. It's more just like a timing thing. So as long as you really, I don't remember the O'Keefe's thing. I do remember the day kind of, but I know that was me when I was your age. I wanted to get in radio, and I didn't know who to talk to or who to get advice from. And That's why I'll always be kind to people who are really genuinely have a passion for it, because you need to kind of know a little bit to get a foot in, or else you just become that pain in the ass guy. So happy to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So when did you feel like that you, I don't know, I want to say made it. I mean, you were obviously making a living, but you're doing so much better now. I mean, now you're a worldwide known personality. Now you're nominated for, you know, these big awards and but when did you feel like that you were there, that you actually made it in this business?
It's weird because I felt like I made it early on, way too early. And then you get a new job and you were like, okay, no, wait a second. Now I've made it. And then you get fired from that job and you get a new job and you're like, oh shit, now I made it. So the truth is that my, I don't know if that's ego or if that's just my strong desire to be successful. I got to tell you, I thought I was good at it right away. When I worked with Bubba, I found the niche for myself. I wanted to be the executive producer, but there was an executive producer. He stunk. But I ended up becoming the street guy. And I was like, all right, let's be the fucking best street guy ever. And I think I did good at that. So right away in my head, I'm like, I'm already doing, I didn't make shit money. I wasn't successful or anything, but I felt like I was where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And then every job I get, I realized, well, this job is way better than that job. But I mean, this one now, I've done this for 15 years. We've got great ratings. I got a good contract. So I would say now is the time where I think things are great. But talk to me in 5 years when we're on a different station in a different market, and I'll be like, okay, no, wait, now is the time. It's always changing.
Yeah, you always threaten that when and I get part of the deal too. It's number one content, and also, you know, a threat that you might leave. What would be the circumstances where you would say, I love Tampa, but I got this deal. I'm out. What would need to happen?
It would have to be a market that I'd want to live in. Like, I love New York and I'm from there, but it's market number one, but I really can't see me going back there to live there. I live a real comfortable life here. To make this money in New York wouldn't be that great. And I don't know that I want to be with all those people and in that city. And so I don't know, but you tell me that someplace in a big market like Chicago wanted me to go there and they wanted to pay me a shit ton of money. It would have to be a shit ton of money for me to want to go, because I'd have to uproot my kids and stuff. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not looking to leave. But yeah, then again, my contract's up in June. I don't think I'm going to leave, but you never know. They may come back to me and go, hey, we don't want to, we're done. You know,
sure.
I don't know what the circumstances would be, but it's always possible.
Do you think that you would, let's say you get a job in Chicago or whatever, would you even really have to go live in Chicago to do it? It seems like now we were just talking off air about the modern marbles that have come with the coronavirus pandemic. You built a studio in your house. I never really saw you anyways. We have the complete opposite schedules, but
yeah.
Now you don't need to come into the station at all. It sounds great. You know, and you know, we even have Roger and JP on the station. They're in New York and they're piped down here. So, I mean, it seems like you wouldn't even have to necessarily move.
In order to do what we do successfully, I think you do need to be there. It's one of the things where everybody always says to me, well, wow, are you syndicated? Wouldn't you want to be syndicated? Syndication doesn't really mean shit to me. The only reason I want to be syndicated is quite honestly because of more money. If you put it on more markets, you have a potential to make a lot more money. The way things are done digitally now, if they put me on in Wisconsin for some reason, sometimes they come up with these really weird markets. They're like, hey, we're interested in putting you on in San Antonio. That wouldn't mean shit to me, and I don't know that I'd be successful there because I'm not there. I don't know the climate of the market. I don't know what it's like to be there. It doesn't make sense to me as a first market. If they were to put me on in Orlando, in West Palm, in Fort Myers, maybe even Miami, that's where I think the success is, because I could be a local personality in each one of those markets. Mm. I could drive to Orlando in an hour. I like Orlando. I know it over there. I know the radio market over there. I lived in Miami for a little while. I'm already on in Fort Myers just because our signal's so strong, and I could travel throughout the state. So that seems to me to be the best thing. You do need to be in the market. You do need to be, if you want to win that market successfully like we do, dominate like we do here, I believe you need to be there. You know, people, we have this band that we play with, and the band is fun to do and it's cool to go out and see hot chicks and all this stuff and the money and all that. But the truth is, it's a perfect way for me to mingle with our audience, without having to be sitting at a car lot on a Sunday for 2 hours. It's an opportunity for me to do a weekly appearance on my terms. And I get to go have a beer with 50 to 100 people after every show and take pictures of everybody. And that makes the most sense. That's me being involved with my audience. If I was in Orlando, I could still do that. If I was in West Palm and Fort Myers, all that stuff, I could still do that. I would be successful in each one of those spots. If they just put this show on in San Antonio and we're on in Tampa and San Antonio, I'm never going to San Antonio, maybe twice a year. I don't know what it's like over there. I know there's a lot of Hispanics over there. Maybe I'm not speaking to them because I don't see them, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why if I was in Chicago, I think I'd have to move to Chicago.
Yeah. And, you know, soon there's going to be a bullet train going from Orlando to Miami too. So take you 45 minutes to possibly get over there. And that's, I think, the saving grace of, you know, I wonder all the time if radio's not dying. It's certainly changing and evolving a little bit, but the saving grace of it is that you have people that live in your community that are talking about things that are happening in your community, and you can call them up and talk to them. And that's what I always liked about that, because I love podcasts. I listen to podcasts all the time, to the point where I have to make myself listen to music now because I'm driving myself insane with some of the podcasts that I listen to. But the radio thing is great because you could just call up and talk to somebody who's talking about something in your community. But I wonder, I hope that, you know, the station, that Cox and these radio companies are thinking about ways to incorporate them out of the FM signal and onto, you know, your iPhone or whatever. People are walking around with these computers in their pocket now, and it seems like they are. I just hope that
they're late to the game. They really are. They didn't take it seriously like iHeart did. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it is something that they hopped on and they're doing it now. And I agree with you. I mean, it's the matter of, like, my son is 15 years old, never listens to the show. He listens from A to B. And when we're in the car together, he listens to hip hop. That's just the way it is. But every once in a while, he'll find something on YouTube or something from somebody's podcast, a clip of something that he'll show me, and I'll go, yeah, that's a fucking podcast. Mm-hmm. And if that YouTube clip gives him the option to listen to the whole podcast, he'll go check that out. So there needs to be more of that for our show, so that the younger generation that's coming up not listening to the radio will be able to find the show or find the podcast to listen to at a later time. So, the other problem with me is they've been podcasting shows for a while, and I never wanted to do it, because if you listen to my show, like, a lot of times people will say, oh, I'm so glad Howard Stern replays. I can listen to you in the morning and him on the way home. And I'm like, yeah, great. Because if you decide to do it the other way around, guess who's not getting ratings credit for it? I'm the one living and dying by the ratings. He's not. So I want you to listen. I didn't want them to take my show and put it in a podcast form, because I didn't want people to listen outside of that time. Mm-hmm. And now they're making, I don't really know what the whole process is, but I guess now if you do listen at a different time, you get some ratings credit, and I don't really know how it all works out, but that was my big worry. If everybody decided to listen to me at night when they're laying in bed, well, that fucks my whole career up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's weird, because you would think now with the technology that's come around that it would somehow factor into ratings doing podcasts. I mean, we have the Bone app, which replays all the shows. I don't know why we don't have a listen on demand function instead of kind of just loops the shows.
I can tell you why. Because so what happens is that in order to get ratings credit for it, you have to listen within a 24-hour period, and it has to run in the entirety like it ran in the morning. So in order for them to get credit for it, for the ratings, it has to run. You can't fast forward through it or rewind it. It has to run in that loop that way. Mm. I don't know why, but that's what has to be done. And it only works within that 24 hours. The smart thing to do for them would be like, hey, here's yesterday's show, you know, in the loop. And then a day after, it archives and you can go listen to it and fast forward through it on demand, whatever you want. But again, I'm so concerned with just 6 to 10 that I don't really give a shit what happens after that.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Johnny about this the other day. We both work other jobs. I have a day job. He just got a job dealing cards again. And we were saying, wow, how great it must be to just be able to do, you know, a radio show and go home. But you don't really do that. I mean, you're working all the time. You have your band. You got, you know, your foundation. You have your podcast with Robert Kelly, which is great. Yeah. Go check it out. It's awesome. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably already know about it. So, I mean, you're always working. What are your days like? Where do you get much, you know, leisure time?
Having this past year of doing the show from my house has definitely been a huge break for me, because instead of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I know to some people that's not a big deal, but that hour is huge. And I'll be honest, a lot of times I don't wake up till 5:15. That hour right there is huge. I come in here, I do the show. And then after the show, this is really what happens every day after the show. For that half hour after the show, Spanish and Joe and Gio are playing video games in the corner. And I am in my seat sleeping like a guy who just had a stroke, doing this right here in this very seat. And then I'll wake up like a half hour later and we'll fuck around and do some work. I'll cut some commercials and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, it's noon. These guys go on their way to do their thing. And I am in full work mode. I'm either reading stuff and prepping for the next day's show, or I'm out running about and doing errands and things I have to do for my life. And then I turn into dad mode in the afternoon. I pick my kids up from school and I come back here. And then, yeah, I go into podcast. Bobby, Kelly, and I do the podcast. And, you know, then I'm back into preparing for tomorrow's show. And when I say preparing, I'm not attacking the internet and writing down notes. Spanish and Gio do a great job of prepping the show. But I do watch all the – I watch news all day. I read news stories all day. I look online at stuff. And I just get a kind of an idea of things that I want to talk about the next day or things that we want to do and try and prepare for some stuff that could come up in the future, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a 24-hour-a-day job. But listen, I'm also going to tell you at the same time, when I was your age and I just got in radio, I used to say the same fucking thing. I used to work at FLZ at night, and I'd go, if I could just get – $5 an hour, I would stay here all day. It's like the greatest place to be. You're in this building, you have all this equipment, you could do all this stuff, and you're like, I just need to just do this for my job. I would put 100% into it. And that's true. And eventually it comes. It just comes. You know, I don't understand how it works where you guys are a full-time nighttime show and you are not making a significant amount of money. I just don't get it. You know, people seem to think that I'm the one doing payroll and I'm hiring people and all that stuff. And I have nothing to do with any of that. But I think you guys do a great job. I think it's important that a radio station like ours has a local live show. And I think that's part of the success of the radio station. Should you be compensated for that? Absolutely. It would be better for you and for the station and for the show if you didn't have to worry about doing another job to pay your bills. So I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where they know that we're not going to leave either. We have to look for other stuff. That's part of the deal. I think you know, my boss knows that he's getting a decent product at least for really cheap. And it's up to me to find something else. And I have been looking a little bit. Did you hear about this? Now, I was applying, you know, just so happens that the biggest company is iHeart. So that's where I looked at in job boards. I applied for stuff. I got one response from a guy in Omaha. And I go, oh, my God, do I want to live in Omaha? It was kind of this existential dread. But I pumped myself up for it. Ended up not getting a follow-up email after the initial email. But iHeart got in trouble recently. Not in trouble. Got called out because they announced that they were going to give preferential treatment to essentially, you know, anyone but white males, because white males are dominant in the industry and it's just the culture we live in now. So I'm going, wonderful. I'm a white guy. So this, and then they corrected it and said, well, we encourage everybody to apply, of course, but they're going to give these preferential treatment to those applications. And I'm just so, it just stinks. I wish I could have been born 20 years ago and started doing this.
Here's the thing. It's so funny because I don't get to listen to Roger and JP a lot because I'm usually here still in the studio. I did get an influx of emails and tweets the other day that said, Monica said that I'm in the position that I'm at because I'm a white guy. Mm. And that's why I got mad. And I'm like, I don't understand where that's coming from. Clearly this is what she was talking about. I will tell you this. iHeart and any other company for the past 30 years have probably hired predominantly white males to do the job, especially in talk radio. And now if they're trying to make adjustments there, they'll probably do that. They'll look at their roster and say, we are not diverse enough and we need to diversify. One, because it's the right thing to do, and two, because it's a bad look publicly. But I will tell you that if you're white, if you're Asian, if you're black, if you're good at what you do, you're going to get the job. Even if you're a white guy in a time where they're not hiring white guys, they're not going to look at you and go, this guy's fucking great, but we can't hire him because he's white. They're going to look at him and go, we can't hire him for 3 more months, or we have to put him on another station because we need to hire whoever here. But your talent will always rise above the bullshit. Mm-hmm. It will. Don't let that stress you out. There's plenty of other reasons why, competition being the number one reason, but there's plenty of other reasons why you wouldn't get a job besides that. It's shitty to hear on paper and look at it on paper, but the truth is, if you have the talent, you'll get the job.
Well, that's good news. That makes me feel a little bit better. I haven't been applying for stuff lately. Part of that's just my own laziness, and it is a full-time, you know, job. I find myself getting, you know, burnt out, which I've talked to my boss about. I can't do the thing where you just go in there and riff. I know some radio personalities are able to do that and put on an okay show, but I want to make sure that I'm prepared for, I want to know what's going on in the news. I almost find it detrimental to my health, though, because it is a 24/7 job, constantly looking at Twitter, social media. It bums me out. What do you do to get away from that and keep your head a little bit?
I definitely don't look at Twitter. I don't give a fuck about Twitter.
Smart.
Twitter has turned into just a shithole of, a bunch of anonymous pussies, and I don't pay attention to anything on Twitter at all. That's the number one thing. I look at it every once in a while during the show, especially if there's something where I feel like we just did something. Let me see what the reaction is. I'll look at Twitter real quick, but that's it. Twitter is a wasteland. Mm. As far as the rest of it, you definitely need to get away from whatever you're doing that burns you out. I don't feel like on this show, I feel like we need to be a little bit more news conscious because people are going to work in the morning and they're hearing us for the first time and they want to kind of know what's going on in the world. That's why we've dedicated that 7 o'clock hour to actually delivering news in our own way. So it's half serious, half fun, you know, and letting you know what's happening. We tell you every day, we talk about the coronavirus or whatever it is. We have to remind people we're not doctors. Most of us dropped out of college. The smartest person on our show, education wise, is Carmen. Also the dumbest person on our show. So that shows you to never listen to us, but we're going to give you our opinion on things and tell you what it is. I feel like in your situation, you at night need to embrace your audience. So think about who's listening. It's people who are either laying in bed and listening, people who are at work on that shift and listening, people who are driving home from something and listening. Those people don't really need the news as much as they need to be entertained. They also want to feel like there's somebody on the other end that's like a friend, you know, that's there with them, that they're listening to the conversation. I would feel like, to me, a lot of the pressure is off to deliver news to them, and I would just concentrate on doing funny and fun shit with them. And I think that's, to me, that's a lot easier, and it should take less, you know, take a lot off your plate.
Yeah, we do a lot of that. And I mean, Twitter, I don't really look at for interaction. I just find it's the best. You know, I follow news sources, and it's just I can just put together a show just on Twitter. That's what I found works best. What do you use to prep yours?
Well, I'm going to be honest. As far as news stories and all that stuff, Spanish and Geo send me news stories. But during the day, I will be like, hey, I was watching the president on TV the other day, and he's got this huge mole growing above his eyebrow. I'm pretty sure he's going to have eye cancer. And I write that stuff down, like the thoughts that I have during the day. If I get in a traffic confrontation with somebody, if I went to Popeyes and had their chicken sandwich, and I think that it sucks compared to Burger King, that's the kind of stuff that I'm doing. It's the stuff that's in my head that I want to bring out. That's the stuff that I want to deliver out there. The stuff that I'm thinking about all day that I wonder, is anybody else thinking this shit? That's what I do. I could show you. This is my notebook that I have during the show. This was a book that I bought for one of my kids at Disney, and those little spoiled brats didn't even open it. So I write all my notes on here. At the top, sometimes I write the date. I'll find the day. I'll write the date, and then I'll write a couple of things I want to talk about underneath. And sometimes it's full, and sometimes at the end of the show, it's still just the date on the top. So, because the things that I have planned and that I want to do, sometimes we don't go anywhere near it, and I have to save it for another day. So, this show is my life, and it's easy for me to get on a riff because I just talk about shit that I want to talk about. Today, we open the show at 6 o'clock. There's a concert tomorrow night that's the old school something jam, throwback jam or something. But it was all bands from when I was in high school, all disco bands. So I was playing that music on the air this morning, Stevie B and that kind of shit, to see if Spanish and Carmen even knew who they were. And then Galvin and I are the same age, if he even liked that music. And that kind of shit ended up going on for like 20 minutes. It was funny, and it was fun to listen to, and then that's it. It's over. And it's not something you really have to plan. It's just something you think about as you're going into the show.
Yeah, I always have an irrational fear of running out of things to talk about, which never happened, ever. Even when I was interviewing, you know, some stupid painter, you know, down here who paints architecture or something, I was like, oh no, what are you going to do if you just go... Right. Well, I mean, that's never happened. That's never happened to you, right? I'm sure.
Happened to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, it does happen, and there's a lot of factors that go to it. One was yesterday, for some reason, I was fucking exhausted, and the 9 o'clock hour, I just couldn't seem to get my shit together, and I relied on the fact that Hoppy was there running the board, and it was easier for me to just talk to Hoppy than it was to come up for something new. And don't get me wrong, it was good. Hoppy's funny to talk to, and it was good, but the truth is that I was lazy and I was tired and I fell back on it. So it does happen every once in a while. I mean, it's not that I'm not going to be able to do the show, but if you don't think about it and your head's not on straight, you could fuck that up easily.
Yeah, shit. I'd kind of thought that was a myth, but now I'm worried. It's going to be in the back of my head now.
Yeah, it's not that you're going to run out of shit to talk about. You'll always think of something and save yourself, but it's a difference between, am I doing lazy radio or am I doing good radio? And yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour for me, it became lazy.
Have you ever had a confrontation with somebody that you worked with in the station where you just hated that person, and you know, or physical, or you know, whatever?
Not physical, but yeah, I hate a lot of people. I hate a lot of people we work with now. I feel like the therapy there is just always to just say that I hate them. I don't pretend that I like people anymore, and it's all about respect for me. I could dislike you and stay away from you and just stay out of your face, because we don't need to bring that into work. But there are people that we work with now that I never liked for one reason or another. I can't stand it. I'm not going to pretend that I do anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to do it.
I think there's the Bone Fam kind of, not myth. I mean, the listeners are great. You know, they definitely have their own communities. But none of the shows, you know, see each other. It's not like, what? Oh, man, I was so excited when I started working at the Bone, especially when I had that, now I'm on air with that 1 hour a night. I was like, this is great. I'm going to be friends with Galvin and Mike. We're all going to hang out with each other. And that was just not the case. I mean, everyone kind of just has their own thing. And, you know, in and out, I see, you know, the show before us hardly ever. By the time I get in there now, they're all gone. Nobody really talks to anybody. And I thought that would be kind of cool if they did, but it's sort of unnecessary too. I mean,
but that it's not really true. And I will tell you that COVID, you know, obviously has caused a huge distance between the shows. I would say most of the time, like, you have to understand also that, how old are you?
36.
I'm 50. And I have two kids and a wife, and I'd love to be out slinging beers every afternoon, you know, chilling out with you guys and telling jokes. But the truth is I got to take my son to football and then the gym, and my daughter wants to go in the pool. And that's my life. But every once in a while, I'll do a thing like where there'll be a UFC fight or something where I can have everybody over, and I'm down with that. Like, I love to hang out with the people, especially the people from the station. I even secretly don't tell anybody, but I even like Mo. I've invited Mo over a few times. Yeah,
you love Mo. Mo's your favorite.
Johnny came over my house and almost killed somebody one time.
That's right.
He knocked the thing off my wall and almost killed Twiggs' son. I actually love hanging out with people from the station. I really do. And I feel like I don't get to see them enough. And I enjoy when we do. We're doing the birthday party on the 17th through the 20th or the 19th at the Postcard Inn. I would love it if you came and Johnny came and Mo came and SBK came and all that. I would love that. My problem is that in my head, I'm like, those fucking guys don't want to come. It's my birthday and my gig and all that stuff. They don't want to fucking be there. Like, that's how I think sometimes. I'm like, they don't want to hang out with me. They don't want to come to do this shit. So it's part of me is like, I don't want to be arrogant and assume everybody wants to hang out with me. And the other thing is just that we all have such busy lives. It's hard to do that. When I was your age, I'd have fucking went out every night if I could.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even at the point now where I don't, even go out on weekends anymore. I work the day job and then I have my night job. And by the time the weekend rolls around, I'm so tired that sometimes I don't do anything.
That's how you stay sane. It really is.
And I'm single and I have no kids and, you know, none of that. So I can only imagine what it's like to, you know, have a real life adult scenario.
Oh, wait till you have fucking teenagers that have sports and shit. I mean, I can't tell you. It's worse for my buddy Pete because his kid is like super hockey player. And he's in Nashville 1 week, Toronto the next week, West Palm the next week. I'm like, fuck that. If you're not going to make it to the NHL, this is a big waste of time for me. Mm-hmm. My son has football. He has hockey. My daughter has gymnastics. I mean, it's your life becomes their life. And that's it. That's you lose all of your self-interest at that point. It's all about your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever have kids. It's not looking good. And it got to the point where my mother doesn't even ask anymore. It used to be, what's going on with, you have a girlfriend? Are you going to have kids? And now she just doesn't ask. And one day I was just Mom, it's not looking good. And I said it like that. And she went, oh. And then she never said anything.
I always assumed you and Anna were going to get married. I don't know why. I just felt like that was going to happen.
My father is too. She likes men that look like the male version of her, though. It's very strange. She doesn't have any brothers, but if she'd probably want to bang her brother if she did. She likes dark, like fit, you know, dudes. I'm not in her wheels. Anna's great. I get along so great with Anna. And we were just instantly buds. But, I would be probably open to it if it's, time's a ticking here, but I don't think she would be into that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know a lot about her, so I don't know what she's into, but. I don't know. I think that at some point you know, kids aren't for everybody either. You get to a certain point where you're like, no, I'm pretty good with this life. Mm. Like now I said I'm going to be 50. I want to travel and I don't want to travel with my kids. Like, I don't want to take my kids to India, you know, I want to go to India, but I don't want to take my kids there, or maybe just my son, you know?
Right.
So you have to really consider those things. Don't let kids fuck up your life if you don't really want
them. No, they're not. I think it's great. You know, my kind of, motif would be, that's why you're here, is to have kids. If nothing else on a biological level, it's to have kids. I don't want to be, I would like to have children one day, but I have to have a career first. I have to be able to support them and care for them and do all that stuff and have the time for that. And, you know, luckily for me, men, it's not a problem. I could get a chick knocked up at 40, 45, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't want to be old dad either, where I can't go toss a baseball around, but it's not a super priority for me right now. But I don't want to be alone. Like, that would be great to see the world, I guess. I don't even know if I want to do that. But just to have, like, you're on your deathbed and there's just nobody there, nobody to talk to. You want to say to your son, I love you, I'm so proud of you, and then go. That just seems like the way to do it.
And until you have a teenager and you're like, I love you, I'm so proud of you, and you go, thanks. And you're like, fuck you, you little spoiled shithead.
Yeah. All right. Last thing I want to do, I won't keep you too long, and I really do appreciate you doing this. I would like
you to. So far, this has been surprisingly painless.
Good. Great. Let's see what this question. I'd like you to rank the races by how attracted you are to them, please.
What is the group of, like, what are you, I don't know. I'm really, I sexually attracted to them?
Yeah.
I'm pretty equal opportunity lover. Married to a half Jew.
Nice.
Love the black girls. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. There's a few Asians I'm particularly attracted to. Eastern European women. I got to tell you, not trying to weasel out of a good question, but I am very much attracted to women across the board. I even like a couple of fatties.
Have you gotten one of everything in your time?
I don't think that I've ever made sweet love to an Asian lady. Not like a Pacific Asian, you know. Yeah. There might have been a couple of. I'm trying to think of. I definitely have made sweet love to a black lady.
Nice.
To a European lady, and a half Jew from Jersey.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I got to get a Indian, a dot, not feather. That's what I need to complete my rainbow.
Interesting is that all of a sudden Indian women came on strong being attractive. They were, for a while, they were just like the meek little quiet lady. And then on the last couple of years, they're like, what's up? I'm fierce Indian lady. So yeah, I mean, I'm married now, but I wish I would have had a chance.
It's
imagine you make sweet love and then the dot ends up on your head.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because Indian women are either tens or threes. There's not really an in between. It's like so redheads. Hot. Yes. Yes. Very similar.
There's I have like a nice lady that I see at a drive-through all the time, and she's like, "Hello," and I feel like I'd have a shot with her, but she's a three.
Yeah,
you know. But then you see like a Mindy Kaling, and you're like Indian 10.
Oh, you know what? She might be the exception. I think she's a solid 6.5.
Yeah, which is an Indian 10.
Fair enough. Mike Calta, thank you so much. I'm sure that everybody's listening to this already knows you and can find you. But if you'd like to, you know, plug your stuff, please feel free.
Nope.
No,
don't look for me anywhere. Actually, I'll plug the Calta and Kelly podcast. You could find that on YouTube. If you can go find that and subscribe to it, that would help us on YouTube. More people would check that out. It's me and my chubby number one best friend, Robert Kelly, who's one of the most hilarious comedians you'll ever see. And the two of us do a podcast that sounds very much like one of our typical phone calls where we just complain about each other. But we have a lot of other good, great comedians. We've had every comedian on. Every great comedian's been on the show, from Bill Burr all the way on down. So I would check that out if you can on YouTube. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Will, Mike.
This was surprisingly painless. I feel bad that I made you wait so long to do it. I think you and Johnny do a great job together. You have great potential to do something in the future. Just don't let it burn you out and don't give up. It'll all fall into place.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.